You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop, everyone. Gather inside, gather inside. We're full of secrets today. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
Confused.
Oh?
We have secrets?
Every day.
Oh.
Always secrets.
That's news to me.
The secret is we love you.
Oh. Lame. Cut that.
I'll just bleep it out and people will put their own secret in there.
We fuck you. What?
Surprise! It's a sex club. It's not a sex club. Come on in the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. If you are new to the shop and trading in general, please, please, please check out the Knowledge Center and Resource Centers on financialneptitude.com or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We have several. You got those links in the episode description. But the best place to be is our Discord server. Kyle and I and a bunch of great, amazing people get on there every day. It's just a really awesome place to be. You don't have to do this in a vacuum. There are people out there wanting to help and wanting to share in your adventure and your wins as well. So, Kyle, what happens when they join the server? They just get on there and that's the end?
No, they can give us a message with their, a private message with their address, and we will send them a nice welcome gift.
Yes.
We've got beer koozies, shot glasses, coffee mugs. I think you just got yours, right?
I did. I just got a package, and it included a t-shirt.
No, don't tell you about the t-shirt. We haven't decided about how to make that feasible yet.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up. Like, is that on in the pipeline?
Maybe at some point, but I think we need a lot more interest first before we start doing those.
Obviously, we can have shirts for ourselves.
Yes.
Oh, we're just so glad everybody's here. We have a lot of fun. Always better with friends. And that leads us up to some show news, Kyle. We got any show news going on?
Yes, we had just finished recording with James Falk. He is over in Hong Kong and the author of The Financial Cold War.
Yeah.
Man, that guy was smart.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like inviting the professor to the backyard barbecue, wasn't it?
Yeah, except being, I just felt like completely out of my league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about.
Right? Like, we're in Finance 101 and he teaches Finance 805.
Yes, exactly. Next week, we will be in the Trade Pro Boot Camp. So we might be a little less active on Discord in the afternoons while that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to work out time with one of the Trade Pro guys to do a kind of a recap for that for the bonus episode for the week afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got Sarah Glass and then Jonathan Baird is scheduled for February. And I've got so many more guests on the radar that we're trying to get scheduled that it's getting to be real exciting.
Yes. Yeah. We're talking to tons of amazing, interesting people that all have such great insight. Yeah.
And some of them have blue checks on Twitter. It's amazing. I have blue check envy.
Ah, blue checks. Blue check. We're talking to blue check people. Oh, my
yes.
God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What's a blue check?
I don't know. It's the thing that makes your account look more impressive.
Ooh. Well, we all want an impressive Twitter account, right?
Right.
Otherwise, what are we doing in the world?
Exactly. All right, Dan, I know you're stalling, but maybe we should talk about the bet.
I'm not stalling to talk about the bet.
No, I think you might be.
No, I wanted to say we've got and oh my God. We've got an oblong, obnoxious, obscene show for you today.
Nice.
Plenty of market moving news, stocks on the radar, and more options than Ghislaine Maxwell has names to name.
All right. A little obscure.
A little obscure. Okay. More options than Pharma Bro has profits. No, wait, nice. Wait, no.
No, wait.
More options than days until inflation hits under 2%.
Oh, wow. That's a lie. We don't have that many.
As always, folks, reach out to us. We really love and adore your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, especially the Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email, the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com, or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you are stuck in an attic during a rainstorm reading a book as it comes alive. It doesn't matter. We love it. Reach out.
For some reason, I had Anne Frank's diary stuck in my head when I started that. that's completely different.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was going for Never Ending Story, but I guess Anne Frank works too. If you're stuck in an attic because Nazis are trying to round you up, we definitely want to talk to you. Please reach out.
You should probably call the police, though.
No. Call us first. Okay, Kyle. Now we can talk about the bet results.
All right. You want to lead us off?
Well, why would I lead us off?
It's tradition.
Goddamn tradition.
You know how many months I waited for that?
I know.
How many months I waited for this to be the new tradition?
I know. Many, many, many months. Okay. Well, in the spirit of new tradition, I feel like I bungled this bet pick so bad. I picked Albertsons ACI, and I still have faith in the stock because it's still towards its top. But I went long with a stop at 30 and a flip short, and Monday opened up at 31.72. Very quickly in the first couple of days, hit my stop, flipped short.
It was looking good till Friday.
And it was looking good till Friday it decided to pop back up above 30. So I lost on both trades. Oof. And brought my total from 500 down to 458.07.
Yeah. Hey, it makes it all that more sweeter when you come back from a big 10% handicap.
Yeah, well, thank you for assuming that I can do that.
You can. You just need to find the right meme stock. Been scouring Wall Street bets this week?
No, but AMC is right at support.
There you go. I went with Bristol-Myers Squibb, opened the week at 62.80 and closed at 64.92. And it just missed my take profit at 66. I think it peaked at 65.87. Mm-hmm. So that takes my bet total up to $516.88. I'm trying to do math. $12 ahead of Random, who had Campbell's CPP, which opened at 46.02 and closed at 46.39. So Random is sitting at 504.02. Everything is right with the world.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah, everybody makes money but me. That sounds about right.
I just mean Random's not in the lead.
I know what you meant, you son of a bitch.
That's what makes this bet pick so hard, though, is you had two trades that were profitable at one point. Mm-hmm. But because you have to do it in this weekly format, you're not able to cut it and take profit.
Oh, yeah.
But that's also what makes it fun.
That's also what keeps it interesting, right? There you have it. Stick around to the end of the episode. I'll see if I can come up with an even worse bet pick this week. If you're on that Discord, feel free, let us know about a stock, and maybe we'll throw it on as the random. Another reason to get on that Discord with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Kyle, I guess, the news?
Sure. Send it.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now.
shop news. All right, what should we start with?
I kind of had a big, little big, you know.
Little big?
A small, big story.
Which one?
Lael Brainard has been picked for the number two Fed spot.
Number two, that's not big news.
Okay, all right. Well, what's your big news?
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. What was big news is what she said.
Yeah, the direct quote is, we do have a powerful tool. Oh, and we're going to use it to bring inflation down over time. Yeah, I guess where you pause is important in the meaning of it.
Yes.
Yeah, she basically sat down and told the Senate that the Fed's most important task is high inflation.
I thought that inflation was transitory.
Yeah.
I thought we could just ignore it and go away.
You know, I've still been ignoring it, so I don't know if it's gone away or not.
No, it's not going away.
Yeah.
But what that does mean, though, is that rate hike in March is the, I think that's priced in at about a 90% likelihood now at this point.
Yeah.
Last week was like 2/3.
It's going to happen.
I think they're expecting like 4 of these for the year now, too. And that's, oof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yay, rate hikes.
Yeah. Prices in the U.S. grew 7% between December 2020 and December 2021. Is the fastest year-over-year pace of inflation since, and we've mentioned this before, June 1982. So,
yeah, before I was born.
I was literally born a month before we saw this inflation, so I feel kind of special. Like I'm an inflation baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, as an inflation baby, I'm very comfortable with inflation over 7%.
I've seen it.
I've seen this.
Nothing new.
Nothing new. I can assure you, if you ignore it and aren't even aware of it, it will go away.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got rate hikes coming this year, because that's really, I mean, other than what burning cash, it's the only thing they can really do to fight it, right? Are there any other tools that you know of?
I mean, you could stop printing so much money.
Well, that fights the growth of inflation.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's interesting you say that, because part of our unaired interview with James Falk, we gave us some reasons as to why they're not going to just stop printing money.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tease that interview right here.
It's nice.
It's
nice.
Yeah, very illuminating. So the Honorable Lael Brainard, as she's known as a Fed governor, getting confirmed as one of the three they call the Troika of the Fed.
Not the Trimovirate.
The Trimovirate. Yeah. Well, apparently, if we want to put a more sinister spin on it, we say Troika, right? It's the policy setting Federal Open Market Committee is the Fed chair, the vice chair, the head of the Fed's outpost in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So she's one of the bigs. The thing that really struck me as hilarious is in the article they mentioned the Harvard trained PhD economist also answered questions regarding her $750 campaign donation to Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, a rare move from senior officials at the Independent Central Bank. But nobody asked her about insider trading at the Fed and stock trades.
No.
But $750 campaign donation, we need to know about that, bitch. You let us fucking know. Y'all trading stocks? That's fine. You gave money to a campaign under $1,000? You're up to something. You are up to something, lady.
Got
to
get those priorities crooked.
And nobody's opposing. Doesn't look like anybody's opposing, so it's smooth sailing.
No.
So we're going to see some interest rate hikes.
I don't know. Like I said, we talked about it last week. I'm still not convinced they're going to do all three of the horrible market crushing options. Cutting balance sheets, tapering, and raising rates. That just seems like they're asking for trouble.
Right, but like to continue this discussion. It has to happen at some point, and the more we don't do it, the worse it's going to be when we have to do it.
Yeah,
right. Like, and because of the nature of the structure of the government, the system we live in, nobody, regardless of party, wants to do anything to fuck with the economy because we have a 4-year election cycle. But what if that 4-year election cycle doesn't matter in terms of the economic cycle, right? Like, eventually, damn it. We just got to do it. We just got to do it and get over with. But we keep kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, we could, I guess, if you finally just rip the bandaid off and do it. But I mean, you also don't want to bankrupt everybody.
Well,
you know, in the process of just doing it.
But if everybody's going to go bankrupt anyway, when it crashes itself, like, that's just it, is we don't want the market to do it. We want to have a controlled version. Whereas if the market does it, it's just chaos and anarchy.
Fair enough.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, that's just a lighthearted story to lead off the show.
Right. Oh, man. Okay.
Well, what do you got for us, Kyle?
I got two of them. I guess we could start with the markets getting hammered because of banks not doing all that great in their earnings reports. Looks like, what do we lose? 0.6% lower for the Dow. S&P did edge a little bit higher. The NASDAQ was up about 0.6%, but they still dropped modestly for the week.
Yeah.
S&P is down 2%. NASDAQ's down 5% since the start of 22. There's weak retail sales reports didn't help things. But the big thing was JP Morgan. I think it was down 6% after reporting its earnings. Goldman Sachs and American Express are both down about 3% too. Goldman Sachs reports on Tuesday. Citigroup, BlackRock, they are also lower. Wells Fargo, I think, was the one that rallied. They're the only ones, I think, that posted better than expected results. Let's see. Market is closed on Monday too, by the way. I keep forgetting.
Oh,
keep forgetting about
shit.
That. But there are, let's see, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Truist all report next week too. So there's more of them coming. So far, it hasn't looked all that great. So hopefully these other ones could kind of turn it around.
Wait, is the futures market closed Monday as well?
I think it's shortened.
Weird.
More than likely, there won't be many people trading.
Yeah. All the money nerds taking a day off. Ugh.
And they got low volume like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought some SPY puts that expire Wednesday. So the fact that it's not trading Monday makes me sad.
Oh, yeah. I kind of lose a day of
action.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I purchased those, I was not aware of that.
Well, at least it expires Wednesday, not Tuesday.
That's true. That is true. I thought I was going to talk about it in stocks, unless you want to keep talking about that story.
Oh, no, that's enough.
But you mentioned that we should probably talk about it in the main news. A big shock to the world. On Friday, a coalition of state attorneys generals released a new antitrust complaint against Google.
A new one. Another one.
And they went into a lot of details and how Google is colluding with Facebook in programmed ad markets. Can you believe this, Kyle?
Allegedly.
Well, it's allegedly. It's true. Alleged.
It says alleged. The alleged. Be careful here. But no, I don't believe this.
Yeah, why would what would they have to gain? Digging into the details, what is included in the antitrust complaint is the alleged evidence of collusion. In that they looked at the rates Facebook is paying and like the fair market rates and other ad markets that aren't Google, and they were able to show a very real statistical difference in how much Facebook pays and how many bids they win versus other ad markets.
Okay. So at what point, when you have that kind of evidence, can you drop the alleged?
Well, I did drop it. You insisted you on it.
Well, I mean, if we're going to blow up, we don't need to be making libel statements.
No, it's libel if it's in print. It's just slander if I just say it on a podcast.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, that makes it better.
Oh, I'll gladly welcome that fight. No, I won't. I'm sorry, Google. I'm sorry, Facebook.
Well, Google denied it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously they don't believe that to be true.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook sent Zuckerberg an email that said, this is a big deal strategically. So I'm assuming they did know about it. And they did sound like they did do it. Hey, we got an edge at Google. Sweet.
It's just every time a company's under investigation and like the people who are like on the side of the company are like, no, the company said that's not true. Well, of course they did. What would they? Do you think they're going to come out and say that it is true? The company can't lie to protect themselves?
I don't know. That guy got arrested with his own trial. He said he didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
the video evidence says otherwise, but he's insisting.
He's got a trustworthy eyes.
Look at him. Speaking of, let me spin this guy.
Nice segue.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were like, I need a fucking mortgage?
Many times.
Many times, right?
Yes.
Who did you call?
Well, first I called my wife.
Uh-huh.
To make sure it was okay.
Did she give you a mortgage?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
Then I had to call. I had to call somebody else.
I'm going to bet a lot of money that you called Sue Pullen at Fairway Dependent Mortgage.
I did. How'd you know?
Because she's an equal housing lender and a certified mortgage advisor. Yeah. Who else would you call? Yeah. In fact, my people have done extensive research and they found that she focuses on finding the right product for her customers and their needs. Yeah. She's been doing it over 20 years. Thousands of homeowners, purchases, refinances, even reverse mortgages. She's helped these people and she'll help anybody who gives her a call. That's just crazy to me. Anybody. Short, tall, skinny, fat. She'll help them all.
So who is your guy? Who is your guy that you used?
The guy. Oh, my people?
Yeah.
Those are the secrets I referred to at the beginning of the show. Yeah, she's licensed in 27 states. So anybody can just reach out and talk to Sue and see what she can do for them. I mean, we don't want to just tell everybody how easy it is to get a hold of her, like her phone number, 520-977-7904. We don't want to do that. We don't. You don't just hand out a phone number like that. You can't even give the email, spullen@fairwaymc.com, without people flooding her email inbox.
Better get those loans for those rate hikes happen.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is very, very true. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. That phone number 520-977-7904.
I guess I should do mine.
Yeah, I'm not going to do yours.
Fine. Okay. Two Bulls in a China Shop is proud. Dare I say, I don't have another adjective.
Pleased.
Proud to be affiliated with TradePro Academy. TradePro Academy is the educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. If you want to learn how to trade like a big institution, that is the place to go. We've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders. We've talked to all of them. There's no better place that we've found to learn everything you need to know to be a successful trader. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can just use our affiliate link in the episode description. Or if you want to save a little bit of scratch, you can join the Discord under the discounts channel. There is a link for 10% off.
Also a secret?
Yes, definitely. Secret that we tell everybody. Yeah, it's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
TradeProAcademy.com. And if you hear in this before Monday, I think you might still have time to sign up for the workshop for next week.
Transformations workshop?
Yes. Or the boot camp, as we've been calling it.
Yeah. I'm excited.
It's only boot camp where I've had to get up at noon. All right. Should we move on to some stock stuff?
Ticker that wins. The bell just rung. It's time to get in. Ups drive us wild. Drops drive us crazy. The bulls are shouting. Bulls are always shouting. I wanna get rich overnight and profit every trade. I wanna get rich overnight.
I don't want to talk about the stock chart, but I did really, really want to mention a news article I saw on Yahoo Finance about Ford.
Yes, please.
The headline is Ford just hit a $100 billion market cap. Dash dash. Why its stock may crash 52%.
Okay, so why is it going to crash?
Well, he thinks the author, or the not the author, but the analyst Adam Jonas of Morgan Stanley,
mm-hmm.
thinks that it's gotten ahead of itself in terms of it can't exceed expectations at this point.
Uh-huh.
All it can do is meet expectations. Now, I don't know why that means they're going to, I don't know where he got 52%, like back down to $12 a share.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. But my very first thought of reading through this was,
they want to buy it.
Big players want more Ford shares.
Yeah.
Need to scare people into selling.
It's kind of what it sounds like. So if Ford is at $100 billion market cap, what's Tesla at?
Oh, $1 trillion.
Okay. So, yeah, Ford's got room to go if Tesla is fairly valued at $1 trillion.
Exactly.
we plenty of room.
We can see Ford at $250 a share, right? If it were to follow Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially for, I mean, Ford does so much more business than Tesla.
I know.
Like, what? Anyway, we've talked about that stock chart before.
Yeah,
I didn't want to get into the chart and the nitty gritty, but I wanted to share that story because ultimately when you read a news article, you have to consider all of those facets, including like, what is this article trying to persuade me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Why would someone want to try and persuade me to do that?
Especially if it's an analyst for a big bank like that has an investments arm.
Yeah. No word on Morgan Stanley dumping their Ford stock, by the way.
Oh no, they haven't. They haven't sold off yet.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I've got two stories. Then, if you've wrapped up yours.
Yeah, I don't. That was the only story. I mean, I had a Martin Shkreli story, but it doesn't involve anything with stocks, so I wasn't going to mention it.
Cracker Barrel, which is publicly traded, I did have to look that up. Ticker CBRL. They were just ordered to pay $9.4 million to a Tennessee man who sued the restaurant chain after being served a chemical cleaning agent instead of water.
Wait, what? A chemical cleaning agent?
Yeah. Yes. This case has been going on since the incident actually occurred in April 2014.
Whoa.
So this has taken 7-8 years almost to settle.
Wow.
And the worst part is that because it took place in Tennessee, only $750,000 in non-economic damages can be recovered. So even though he got awarded $9.4 million in the settlement, he will not get nearly that much.
Tennessee has a cap?
Yes, they do.
On settlements?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. But what sounds like what happened is... So he's eating lunch at the Cracker Barrel. The waitress refilled his glass with what she thought was water. He took a sip, felt a burning sensation in his mouth and esophagus. Later found out that he was served a mixture of water and Ecosan, the chemical solution that they used to clean their kitchen area.
They were cleaning the pitcher.
So he suffered permanent injuries, including regular cramping, bloating, diarrhea, and reflux pain after meals.
Ooh.
So yeah, I think that guy deserves some of that money.
Oh.
But let's take a look at the stock, Dan.
I'm just trying to think, like, how much of it did he drink? Because it's water, right?
I can't imagine he drank too much of it. I think you don't go back to it when it's burning you like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're expecting just water, like, if there's been, like, a teeny tiny little drip of lemon juice, like, I fucking taste it. I'm like, I don't want to drink this water.
Yeah.
Give me water with no fucking lemon in it. And it's like, there's no lemon. Like, yeah, but it tastes like lemon.
Yeah, the problem is though, when you're taking that sip, like even if it tastes a little funny, like you almost always like finish the swallow. Even like it's really hard to react fast enough to like spit something like that out. It'd have to really be hurting.
I'm sure it was all thrashed out in court. Okay, let's talk about the stock.
All right, let's take a look at this guy.
I'm looking at the weekly. I don't know what happened in February 2020, but it really killed the stock.
Right. Looks like it's kind of in a bearish trend right now, huh? On the daily, just since basically April of last year.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at the weekly. I definitely it's in a channel between one big channel 115 and 177, and it's towards the bottom of that channel.
I see a very strong support around 118 that it just recently bounced off of. I think that's the level to really keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, 118, 115, when you're on the weekly zoomed out, it's the same area.
Yeah, yes.
Let me switch over to the daily. Yeah, it's in a strong bear pattern from its top. It's all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
At up there at 178.82.
What's the volume look like here?
The weekly volume.
Buy volume looks kind of weak.
The sell volume is definitely stronger.
Yep. Yeah, I'd be watching right around 118, or right about where that the most recent low was put in. What was that at? 117.10. So somewhere in that area. If buyers don't step up and it reattacks that, if it fails that level, you got plenty of room to drop. Target around, let's see, probably first step 107, then close to 100 after that, if that doesn't hold.
Yeah, 107, and then, yeah, dead on. Look at that volume
probably
profile.
102 next.
There's a gap between 107 and 100 in the volume profile the last time it was right around there.
Yeah.
You think we'll get back down to the 50s and 60s?
I mean, I never say never.
Never say never.
Depends on what the Fed does.
Right.
I think the most likely is going to be 102 here in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that $100 area is a big, big support.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for that to hold.
All right. Let's see. What was my next story?
Did you want to mention if a turnaround, if it breaks out above?
I'm not really watching this one. I don't. If you have some levels on that, go ahead. I'm not really. I don't think I'm interested in trying to.
It needs to bust above 139 to be attempting a bullish turnaround, and then it's got to break 150.
Mm-hmm.
If it breaks 150, then we can say, oh my goodness, this has had a reversal.
150. I like 150.
Until that point, I'm going to have a bearish bias.
Yep.
All right, what was your next stock?
It was FedEx. FedEx just recently asked the FAA if they can install anti-missile lasers in their cargo planes.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's about time, FedEx.
It's this is a tough one. They did do some testing in 2008 with Northrop Grumman to test some anti-laser or anti-missile laser-based defense systems on 12 of their planes.
Yeah.
During that time, Northrop Grumman announced that the system was ready to be deployed on civilian aircraft, but they never had any commercial orders. The FedEx's application, though, did not specifically mention them or their hardware, so they're wondering if maybe they're working with another company. But it's basically going to be the same as what was tested back in 2008. So there have been some instances or incidents abroad where planes have been shot down by, you know, handheld heat-seeking missiles. Have a range of about 3 miles.
Like a rocket launcher?
Yeah. I can't remember the last one, though. I think it was somewhere in the Ukraine. Does that sound right?
Oh, yeah. No, that definitely happened. But Russia had nothing to do with it.
That's right. Yes, that was the one. Also, these lasers are pretty fucking dangerous. So there's going to be some real question on whether or not they can put them.
When you ship internationally with the other guys, there's always a chance your plane's going to get shut down.
Our packages are missile safe.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
The best part about this whole story, though, is what they were the last paragraph. I'll just go ahead and read the whole thing. Once FedEx's request is officially published in the Federal Register next week, the public is encouraged to send their comments and concerns about the proposed in-flight defense system. Given people's unfounded concerns over wireless networks like 5G, it's safe to assume this special request will be met with some apprehension, particularly from those who have, quote, done their research.
Look, I Googled it. I spent 15 minutes looking at different stuff. I'm an expert.
Right. Maybe they're going to use these lasers to zap the contrails, and this is actually supposed to help us.
Oh yeah. Get rid of them chemtrails.
Anyway, let's take a look at FedEx, because FedEx has been, I think, looking pretty strong recently.
Yeah, I'm looking at, 217, 218 was, a strong support,
mm-hmm.
bullish off of that.
Yep. I had another one at 235 that it broke above, and then the most recent one at 248. and it's trading above that now too. So what is the next step here? What do we want to see it get above?
Yeah, especially looking at the weekly, you can really see that 255 area holding as support like you would want it to. Next one up is 270, man.
I think 270. So where's 278? Yeah, I could see that. Let's see, maybe there might be another bounce right where this previous peak was at 266. But I'd be watching this to see and it retests that 248 level again, and then maybe be looking to add some calls.
Really, I would be watching to just for this current 255. If it holds, if we start to see some upward momentum off of it, like that's perfect.
The only thing I don't like is the volume on this, on the daily. If you look at the daily volume, you see the sell legs have been a lot higher than the green days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they had the bad earnings in December. They sold it from 261 down to 251.
Mm-hmm.
So they pushed it down 4% with that double than average volume.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. We haven't seen any hard buying come out of the sport. I don't know. I still like it.
I still like it. I want to see more buying. I want to see more aggressive buying, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You see this aggressive buying come in and start to move it up. Like that's, I think it's breaking 266.
Yep. I think that's fair assessment.
Yeah. And someday it'll break 300.
Someday. It's done that already.
Well, its all time high is 320.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What other stocks are you watching for the week, Dan?
The first one I was looking at was MetLife.
MetLife. Look at that. New highs?
New all-time highs.
New all-time high did it yesterday.
So it's February of 2021, it broke above 56, and then it entered into this channel kind of between 56, 66, 67 area.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just now broken out above. We're in all-time high territory.
It's all-time high, but look how weak that volume is on Friday.
Yeah, I'm looking at the daily right now. I mean, it does have earnings coming up in February. Look at that that volume. Yeah, it's slightly below average.
Oh, sorry. I'm on the monthly. Let me get on the right time frame.
That might help.
Okay, that looks better on the daily. That looks better. Sell volume looks much weaker on this run up.
Uh-huh.
That looks better.
Okay, all right. I'm not crazy. Right,
now that we're on the same page. All right, Dad, what are you watching for on this?
I'm watching, well, I feel like we just saw that 66, 75, $67 area hold as support, mm-hmm. which was a previous top back in October. So I'm watching it tried Wednesday and Thursday to break 68.50, and we're still under 68.50. So like it's tapping up against the resistance. So I want to see it break 68.50. I mean, the dream would be a retest off of 68.50, but
yeah.
A lot of times with these all-time high ones, like they start to break and it just runs, right? Mm-hmm. It's just goes into breakout mode. So I really watch it. I want to see it start to break out and then pick up some calls.
I like it. Mm-hmm. What was your other one?
I mentioned Citizens Financial Group because it's a bank. It's got earnings on the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a bank and it's got earnings, and I feel like it's just gambling.
Okay, I need to skip it.
All right. Well, then I want to talk about Sigma Lithium Corporation.
Oh, what is
GML?
SGML?
SGML.
I do want to keep the Citizens Financial Group on my list, though.
Yeah, you should.
Sorry, was it SG?
SGML.
ML. Whoa, that is that's one hell of a chart.
Right? So they hit all-time highs on the 10th, pulled back, hit new all-time highs on the 12th. Excuse me, and then they've pulled back, and the line I drew is at $10.70. They are currently at $10.68. They on December 10th, the high was $10.73, couldn't break through. December 17th, the high was $10.67, couldn't break through. So I mean, you're talking 6 cent difference there, and. Mm-hmm. and we're like right at that same point. But now it did dip below it. It tagged the one of the moving averages at 1032 and ended the day back up at that support point. So with all of these red candles and all this selling, seeing that hold like Tuesday, because it's not open Monday, I'm really eager to see some positive momentum, because percentage wise these are big swings.
Yeah they are.
You know, this could be a really good setup for an options play to really, really clean up.
I am watching that $10 level. I want to see if it falls below that. I'd be looking to maybe pick up some puts, see if we can write it back down to 850.
Yeah, but my thinking on this, my additional thinking on this was, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's had 5 down days in a row, red candles in a row, but one of those red candles gapped up significantly. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, once everybody's, you know, where would we have sellers left?
It looks like it based on the volume. I mean, this is not a really high volume stock either, though. You got to keep that in mind. The average 10-day volume is only 360,000.
Yeah.
So you got to be a little careful with something like that. But I mean, it's definitely seen an uptick in interest. I mean, since October, it's just been steadily increasing, it looks like.
They do produce lithium. Yeah, I'm watching. Watch them.
All right. The last one I wanted to talk about was Target.
Ooh.
Which I think it's been a while since we talked about them. I think we have talked about them in the past, though.
Oh, yeah. I've played options on Target several times.
I'm looking at how they just fell below a level that I had at 223.70. They just closed below that on Friday with an uptick in volume.
Yeah, look at that.
214 was 215, 214, somewhere around there was where it found support the last time it dipped into this back at the end of December. I picked up a couple puts just to see if we can ride through that. And if that level doesn't hold, then I can see this running all the way back down to, you know, 203 to 200 again.
Oh, yeah. 200 is a big support. Not a ton of action.
200's a big psychological level too, but that's actually kind of a box, though. You almost have to draw it from like 205 to 200.
Yeah, I definitely put a support at 212,
mm-hmm.
and then 200.
Yep, I could see that.
Yep,
right where the volume profile starts to pick back up.
Yeah,
on the upside, 233 has been 233, 236, and that range has been acting as resistance in this latest leg down. If it can pop back above that, then that bear trend will be broken. The most recent start of one, although it's not really much of a trend yet at this point until it takes out that 215 low from on the 20th of December. We need to put in a lower low to see if this trend continues, but I do like the direction it's heading.
I was going to say, if 215 holds as support, I'm going to be really bullish.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, it'll spell win. It'll be a big W on the chart.
Right? Nice double bottom.
W for win. All right. Well, is it time to talk about some crypto?
Yeah, why not?
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
Hey,
want to lead us off?
Yeah, there was a big NFT art heist that happened recently.
How does we didn't what? Talk how the about. Fuck does that work? What did they steal? A bunch of zip drives?
No, the Todd Kramer of the Manhattan Chelsea Art Gallery had $2.3 million worth of NFTs in a hot wallet online, just sitting there, and somebody got in there and transferred them all out.
Was it a team of 12 or 11?
I hope so.
Is that going to be Ocean's 15 stealing NFT art?
NFT? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. No, totally.
But then they have to wait a year to sell it, and by that point, it's worth nothing.
Well, that's just the interesting thing that the story spends most of the time talking about was this guy, Kramer, from the art gallery, quickly like went to Twitter and begged for help from the NFT community and the OpenSea trading platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, people ripped him to shreds for not storing his NFTs in an offline wallet. However, the trading platform did freeze the trading of the stolen NFTs that were currently listed.
Nice.
And then they got criticism because they say, you know, the key tenet of the industry is that code is law. And once your tokens are in someone else's wallet, that's the end of the game.
What is it with this in like the Wild West of?
Yeah, right.
Like, I have the bigger gun, so this is now mine.
This is mine. Well, no, it's his now.
Well, that's the rules. It's like that scene in Vikings. Hey, you got a nice farm and wife. I'd like it. I'll fight you for it.
Fight you for it. What? I'm a farmer. You're a warrior. I don't have a chance.
Oh, that sucks for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but them's the rules. So
yep.
We're going to fight to the death. The thing that really, really was eye-opening to me, and I didn't realize this. In 2016, a hacker stole $60 million worth of Ethereum,
mm-hmm.
5% of all the Ethereum in circulation at the time from the DAO,
mm-hmm.
an early DAO on Ethereum. Anyway, after that happened, the Ethereum developers reversed the transaction, wiped it from the blockchain ledger with a hard fork. So in 2016, the fork of Ethereum into a new version was because somebody stole $60 million worth. And they were like, oh, well, if we can do a hard fork and we can actually just undo it and delete the transaction. And they did do that. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
So code is not law.
No.
Or code is law, but you can rewrite the code.
No. So Ethereum Classic, the people who stayed in Ethereum Classic were like, no, we don't like that idea. But you lose it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing my mind. Blowing my crypto mind.
So it's like the Ethereum, like the Orthodox Ethereum and the
Reform Ethereum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in Orthodox Ethereum, we believe stolen Ethereum becomes property of the thief.
The thief. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And you're not like you crazy Reform Ethereists.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you want to keep the door open. If you know, find somebody else's Ethereum, that you want that to be your windfall. I guess that's the argument.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of Ethereum, the co-founder, Vitalik Buterin, I have no idea how to say this name. It's definitely Russian.
Vitalik Buterin.
He was sharing a lot of the criticisms that he's received, like basically like trolling. And then he asked his followers to like give him like the craziest and most unhinged criticisms of him that they've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he got a whole bunch of screenshots of comments of people describing him as like an alien crackhead, a Bond villain. His own father jumped in and posted that he'd seen that his own son was a KGB operative working for Vladimir Putin.
Thanks, Dad.
They've touched on topics from his supposedly secret Ethereum cabal to rumors of his immortality.
Oh, that's a crazy rumor.
Yeah.
Oh, no. People think I'm going to live forever. Well, that could be dangerous. Somebody like tries to kill him to prove it's true.
Right. That's pretty cool. That makes me like Ethereum a little more, though.
Oh,
just come out and be like, hey, you guys are nuts. Here's some of the crazy ass things you guys are saying about me.
You guys want to see the crazy shit people say?
Give me some more. That's not enough.
Since we're talking about it, yeah. What else you got? Here's one from my dad. Well, you know what else?
What?
Draw, motherfucker.
Oh, shit. Well done. You really caught me off guard there.
I know. I thought I would.
Them's the rules.
Them's the rules.
I guess you get my good, bad, and the ugly for the week.
I get your NFTs.
Don't NFTs me. I think my good this week was just that options trading has been pretty fucking spot on.
Oh, yeah. You've been cleaning up.
I'm actually at the point now where I'm ready to start scaling this thing up.
Oh, well, I'm excited for you.
There's a little bit of hesitation all the time, right? When you're making trades and
yeah,
I always feel that little bit of apprehension. I'm still not great at cutting them when, you know, they don't go my way, but I've been playing them with a more long-term outlook lately. Like when I try to do day trades or weeklies, they don't usually work out too well for me, but when I pick a stock and I take like a 2 to 5 month outlook on it, I generally do a lot better. It seems like BP was one example. I've been holding BP calls expire in April, $33 strike for months now, it seems like. And now they're worth about 40% more than what I bought them at, even though it took a lot of heat on it
Yeah. No, you held in there. I'm excited to see you scale up.
What was your good?
My good was I accepted a job transfer at work.
Oh?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's me putting spin on. When I say work, I mean the being a professional trader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got different personalities in my head to all to do the different roles. And me, Dan, got transferred to the algorithm trading department.
Yes, you've been working hard on that algorithm.
My team. It's also a nice way of saying, you know, that they want me to not burn out another account.
Yep.
They being all the people in my head. But that was my good. It happened without me realizing it. But like, I spent the entire week. I wasn't even sim trading futures.
I'm really excited for the prospects of this. This is all based on the trading system that, or the indicator that one of our Discord users came up with, just trying to convert it to the futures to make it an auto trading system.
Yeah. He had a script for backtesting in Thinkorswim that I'm trying to recreate faithfully in Sierra Chart's automated trading system. And in the process of doing that, I've learned the Sierra Chart's automated system. So now I'm at the point where I realize like it doesn't have to be just be this particular script. Like I now have the power to write any script using any indicators or logic that I come up with. And so like it's kind of my life now, and I'm really excited about it.
So then what was your bad?
My bad was on, I think it was Thursday, I ran a back test and I left the house and I came back and I was like, oh, it's so great. And I didn't save it. I screwed it up and I closed the chart without saving it.
And
all that work, like the whole day's work was gone.
Your white whale. Be chasing that one.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay because I know I still have one that I'd sent to you even though it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
So I can work off of that. Also at the same time, like whatever. I build trade bots now, so I just keep building trade bots. Like I'll get it back. I know there's only so many variables in the logic I was using. Anyway.
Right.
But yeah, not saving that. That was a big smack in the face.
That hurts. Especially when I was doing so well. Yeah.
What was your bad?
My bad was Friday, end of day. I got positions on three different stocks and I was trying to close some of them out just to take some risk off for the long weekend and didn't get filled on anything. But that was me being probably a little greedy, quibbling over, you know, an extra $5 per contract. Probably should have just taken some of it off. So now I'm at the whims of, you know, whatever's going to happen Monday morning.
Right.
That's just too much risk. I shouldn't be taking on that much.
Mm-hmm.
What was your, do you have an ugly then? If you didn't trade, you probably shouldn't have one.
Well, I did do the ugly was the one trade that I threw up in the Discord, the one trade I did.
Ugh.
I bought some spy puts, probably really poorly timed. And I bought them, I mentioned earlier, like they expire on Wednesday. So I don't have a lot of time left for them to get in the money. I took a lot of heat and it did turn around and got close to where I bought them. But the reason it's ugly was it was literally my motivation for the trade was I want to have a trade. I mean, I looked at the charts. I'm still bearish on the SPY this year, but
you went bear when I was holding a long position too.
Yeah. Also, yeah, it's ugly. Don't trade against Kyle. Trust me, you'll lose.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all.
My friend Kyle can beat up anybody.
My dad's stronger than your dad.
He's so strong. He's so fast.
My ugly was my trading futures on Friday.
Oh yeah.
There's just some days when you don't have it. And that was that for me. It seemed like every trade that didn't get stopped out immediately, top tick stopped me out before it would continue the direction I wanted. It took me a little too long to stop. I should have quit a little sooner. I still tried to stay within my risk management. I think I might have, the last trade might have taken me a little bit over. What's most disappointing about it and why it's an ugly is that I developed an indicator that I really like that involves looking for really high sell imbalances and waiting for that wall to break down. And it'd been working fantastically throughout the week. If I would have taken out every other trade and just traded those, I would have had probably the best week I've ever had.
Wow.
So why I'm still trying to trade other things.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing?
What are you doing here?
Yeah. So So yeah, I need to tighten up on that. Stop trying. Like you said, it's the boredom that gets you. And that's one of the hardest things to fight as somebody who's trying to do this. When you're just sitting on the sidelines, you feel like you're not making any money. You're watching these big moves and then you just want to get in. Mm-hmm. Then you start forcing it and then you start losing.
Yeah, this is why I have to let an algorithm do it for me. Mm-hmm. That's literally another, yeah. I got fired from the live trading room in my own head. They're like, we'll let you come up with algorithms and let a robot trade, but the robot makes the decisions, not you. Let's get the emotional element out of this.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that, because if you can turn it down into, if you can take like your own emotions out of it like that,
yeah,
and then it just becomes a yes or no trade.
Yeah. If these conditions are true, enter the trade.
Then you just got to find the right conditions that give you the right probability, and then you're fucking golden.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it's that easy to write an algorithm.
Right. Well,
I mean, to write one, not to necessarily have one, you know, good yet, but it's right. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming. Yeah, I totally. Big shout out to Viren on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
It really provided me the motivation to like having that script and seeing it play on Thinkorswim and then like being like, wait, can I convert this? And then like being able to dive into Sierra Charts and be like, I can set up automated trading any way I want through this spreadsheet system. Holy right? shit. Really was the just a little bit of a push I needed to be like, oh God, no, this is what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fun. But it won't help me with the bet.
Oh, yes, the bet.
Stocks! They're the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread. It's the mighty bet.
I get to go first. Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take up any more of the listeners' time. AMC.
Oh, you're going to do it?
I'm going to do it. Put in a stop at $19 half.
All right.
And flip short.
Ooh, you're going to try that again?
I will. And I'll do a take profit at 23 half.
23 half. I like it. I think I got to stick with my guns and go with Target.
Target.
Except I'm going short on Target with the take profit at 215. That's going to be 50% at 215, move stop to break even, hopefully catch a piece of it if it runs even lower. As far as a stop loss, probably put it at, let's say, 233 half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that looks good, like that.
Probably risking more than I should on that, but I don't know. I still like it.
No, risk more. Just keep risk more. You're fine.
Yeah, I can't tell if you're liking my trade because it's going to give you a chance to catch up or
the secret is I'm not even looking at the chart. I'm just trying to say things to get in your head,
right?
If I say it like this, he'll think this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, it's a great trade. You should do that. Love that trade, huh?
I guess I wasn't looking at yours either when you said it. I just was agreeing anyway. All right, let's get a random stock.
Okay,
give me odd or even.
Odd.
And 1 through 12.
12.
Ooh, New York Stock Exchange Transportation.
Dan uses calculator.net for random number generation. All right, what's our ticker?
Knight Swift Transportation Holdings, KNX. That's a trucking company, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
KNX.
Well, it looks looking pretty bullish.
That was a big rejection there. Sell volume's been ticking up on the daily, but I mean, that's a big, is that a hammer?
Oh, I'm not looking at the candle chart. I accidentally closed Trading View and didn't have time to load it back up. So I'm like looking at the fucking Bing results. I'm like, it looks bullish. Going up.
Yeah, this looks like it might have actually just picked the stock right at its bottom. We'll see. I guess we'll have to see how that week goes.
Yeah, it's definitely, I can tell, it's channeling between 56 and 62.
Mm-hmm.
So, this
thanks
could
for
be
us.
The bottom of the
find
channel.
Us off air yep. at twobullsandachinashop.com. That's the number
yay.
Two.
There you have it.
Fucking random.
Fucking random. Make sure you thanks for sticking up. Around, folks. You made it to the end of the show. We love you all so much. And I'm glad you made it here with us. But we do gotta close up the shop for the day. Kyle, any parting wisdom? Final words?
No.
All right. Happy trades. They are not
intended to provide specific advice. Follow me having wisdom to begin with. Any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.